Hi, good morning. It's Wednesday, May 20th, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief. I'm Laura Sellier in Tel Aviv. President Trump hints the war with Iran could end quickly as Tehran warns it's ready to expand it far beyond the region. That could mean more terrorist attacks in Europe. Kasra Arabi is the director of IRGC research at United Against a Nuclear Iran. He warns the UK government is playing politics with national security when it comes to Iran. Hear our conversation in a moment, but first the headlines. Iran's IRGC has threatened to expand the war far beyond the region if it comes under renewed attack. This hours after President Trump said the conflict could end very quickly, while Vice President J.D. Vance said talks with Tehran were progressing. Trump says he called off plans for a new strike at the last minute after the Iranians came up with a fresh proposal for a deal. South Korea says one of its oil tankers has passed through the Strait of Hormuz for the first time since the war began. Earlier, two Chinese oil tankers that had been stranded for weeks with 2 million barrels of Iraqi crude on board also exited. The movement of a handful of ships brought some temporary relief to the oil markets. Iranian proxies in Iraq continue to target the UAE. Abu Dhabi says 6 drones were launched over the past 48 hours, including the one that sparked a fire at a nuclear power plant on Sunday. Most of the drones were intercepted, but one did strike the facility's inner perimeter. The UAE says the plant remains safe, but UN nuclear watchdog chief Rafael Grossi has warned that a direct strike on the plant could trigger a major radioactive release. The IDF has confirmed the death of reservist officer Itamar Sapir during fighting in southern Lebanon. Sapir, a deputy company commander in the 551st Brigade, was killed after Hezbollah operatives opened fire from inside a church in the border village of Kuza. The 27-year-old from Eli is survived by his wife, their 18-month-old son, his parents and 3 brothers. He's the 8th Israeli soldier to be killed in Lebanon since a US-brokered ceasefire came into effect in April. Israeli naval commandos have intercepted all 51 vessels in the Turkish-led Gaza flotilla, ending more than 24 hours of operations. Israel says some 430 activists have been detained and are being transported to Ashdod port before they're deported. Prime Minister Netanyahu monitored the operation. He praised naval forces for the successful neutralization of a terrorism-supporting flotilla. Israel says the naval blockade on Gaza will continue under international law. The International Board of Peace overseeing the Gaza ceasefire is expected to urge the UN Security Council to pressure Hamas to disarm, saying progress on reconstruction and Israeli withdrawal is stalled. A new report says Hamas's refusal to give up its weapons and dismantle its tunnel network is blocking any broader civilian transition in Gaza. The Board of Peace Chief Nikolai Mladenov says Hamas disarmament remains non-negotiable. Hamas rejected the reports, accusing the board of taking Israel's side. And just before we get to today's conversation, a reminder that you can sponsor the Misgav Daily Brief. Just contact us at misgavdailybrief@gmail.com. Now, here's Kasra Arabi. Iran has threatened to expand the war far beyond the region. What exactly do they mean by that?
I think if we take a step back and look at the early phase of the military conflict, we actually saw the regime unravel at quite a remarkable pace. We saw headquarters being targeted. We saw chains of command being disrupted. And I think at the early phase of this conflict, when the US and Israel were carrying out operations on Iranian soil, that's when the regime really started to panic, because I think for the first time, its survival genuinely was questioned. At the same time, those attacks, those strikes, they actually gave momentum to the Iranian people. So in the early phase of this military operation, when the US and Israel were carrying out extensive strikes across Iranian territory, that was when the regime was really panicking. The balance only changed when the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, the IRGC, the Ideological Terror Army of the regime, was able to shift the focus to the Straits of Hormuz. So effectively create a bit of a limited confrontation, a limited conflict. And that suits the IRGC. So this talk about them expanding the conflict, I actually think the opposite is true. So long as they can maintain focus on the Straits of Hormuz and prevent a wider expanded confrontation, that works in their favor. Now, they still have their asymmetric capabilities. So one of the ways they can escalate, and they have, you know, arguably been doing this already, it's already ongoing. We see it here in Britain, we see it across Europe, carrying out terror operations, carrying out asymmetric militant tactics on European soil against soft targets. What do I mean by soft targets? I mean civilian targets, civilian infrastructure. They've been doing that across Europe already, precisely so, even more so in the United Kingdom. And really, Starmer's government has not responded to that.
Are the Europeans letting themselves be blackmailed by the IRGC to a certain extent?
It seems as though economic interests are coming before it's coming before national security. The Europeans, and I hate to say it, sadly, the Brits, the British government, Keir Starmer's government, right now is prioritizing economic interests over national security. But I actually think it's even worse in the UK. I think Starmer is playing politics with our national security here in the UK for fear of losing segments of the Muslim vote in the United Kingdom, because we see that the Labour Party, the Labour government, has been extremely reluctant to take a robust approach against the Islamic Republic overall. Even when our bases were targeted by the IRGC, the government, Starmer's government, really refrained from taking serious action. We have seen successive terror plots on our soil here in Britain. Again, Starmer refusing to take firm action. I believe that is rooted in his fear of losing segments of the Muslim vote here in the UK to the Green Party, because the Green Party has effectively formed an Islamist left alliance and is drawing what can only be described as British Islamist constituency towards itself. Starmer fears that if he takes a robust approach against IRGC or Iran more broadly, that he risks losing that segment of the vote. And already this is playing out on our streets. We see, this isn't an exaggeration, we have seen week in, week out, Islamist supporters of this regime, and they're not necessarily Iranian. Actually, if you look at the ethnicities behind it, it's mainly British Pakistanis, British Iraqis, British Lebanese. However, they are British constituents. That's why I refer to them as British Islamists. And Starmer fears that if he takes a robust approach against Iran's regime, if he takes a robust approach against the IRGC, he would lose segments of that vote to the Green Party. And that's something that he doesn't want to do. Again, truly appalling, because he's putting votes before our national security here.
So it's less about upsetting the regime in Tehran and more about not wanting to upset an electorate in the UK.
Absolutely. I mean, look, we have always been a target. Britain has always been a target of the Islamic Republic. We have seen successive terror plots on our soil. Even more recently, we have seen a flurry of anti-Semitic attacks linked to the regime in Iran. We've seen transnational repression escalate. We've seen the targeting of our politicians, our parliament, our democracy, and still Starmer has refused to act. So it's not, you know, a case of if we act, then we increase the chances of them retaliating. They're already carrying out operations. In fact, the lack of action, the lack of consequences being imposed on this regime is emboldening this regime. They believe they can carry out operations in the UK without facing any consequences. Even 27 EU member states have prescribed the IRGC. Europe is polarized. You're seeing populist movements, left and right, really start to garner support. Domestic politics should not affect our national security. National security is above politics. The first duty of a government is to keep its citizens safe. And right now, Starmer is failing. The British Jewish community and the British Iranian community are the two primary targets of IRGC terrorism on British soil. The threat is real. The threat is increasing. People feel unsafe. And that is directly linked to the hostile activity from the Iranian regime. Mujtaba Khamenei now, the supreme leader, if he's alive, he still has an office in the United Kingdom. Lord Warney carried out a very important comprehensive assessment in his report of Iranian regime exploitation of charities here, how the regime was using British charities in the United Kingdom to nurture its ideology, to nurture Islamist extremism and anti-Semitism. And back then, a few months ago, I said this was going to get worse. Sadly, as we see right now, it is getting worse, and it will only get worse. Starmer is playing politics with our national security.
That's it. That's your Israel in 10. Subscribe using the link below. It just takes a few seconds.